14
Pterodaxel. Like 70 and he slips with a gun under his pillow, like that kind of thing, you know. And eventually we left because of the way he was acting towards me. So on our way out, my ex, he had this little stink bomb in a vial and he threw it under the guy's house and we left and we never heard from him since. And that was the time I lived on the Tennessee River.
And I married her.
The kitten Marie, she was adorable. She loved living on the Tennessee River. Sometimes we'd go out and we would dig for some more, like, things, you know? Like, one time we found, a horse bit, you know, that was all broken up from the Civil War. People do that a lot there. I'm done now.
Wowza.
Thank you.
waking up at 6:66 a.m. My mind is cloudy and painted. The heart I once had has now become tainted, and the stick I held is now shaking. So tell me what you wanna be when you see me. I got 3 balls of lint, and it ain't making sense. Intense, the vomit, I spew stereo tense surrounding and sticking, but I use no glue. So fuck the Elmers, I just use my pen and my pencil. It's my utensil. Keep pouring pieces in my cerebral. I feel the needles digging in my soul. The sound is underground, followed by moles riding on poles sideways. People acting in stuck up tight ways. But yo, I think this little business just might pay. Just might pay. In the hideous and envious way, spitting out pain when I spray. Knowing the money runs red from the A type, C type blood thread. So who you mad when we're hitting from the left? Going eclectic, something from the mind. Chords from the neck and bar, chords that intertwine. Working nightly in factories, I laugh at the flattery. Getting paid minimum wage, yo, I'm locked in a cage. Working for the system, it's a venom. I drink and think as I cut the words like a chink. But I ain't tryna be racist, it's just the faces. Talking through the body of a Kimbo, we're bending back elbows for the Jenners and the fellows. Yo, try this, I say hell no. I'd rather stick to my daily routine. Smoking mad nicotine, just got this letter that haters sent to me. But no, you don't wanna be creating enemies, no. Not with him or me, no.
Useless degree in your face.
Sound exactly like them? What are you trying to go for is what I am asking all of you. You're all excellent, actually. Okay? I don't even have to, you know, mince words here. Everyone here who I've seen perform, I think, is excellent. So if you think everything is working perfectly, then by all means, ignore everything that I am about to say. I would do it too. Volume isn't the only way to make a set. The temptation is there. When you go to a concert, like a concert, in a big stadium with the speakers reaching up higher than you ever have seen before without the aid of an elevator. It's exciting. It's exciting. It's not what you're hearing in your headphones all alone in your room, shutting the door, locked. You're amongst other people, and you're all there, enjoying it. The thing is, does it make it automatically rock and roll if the volume is up? That is what I wanted to ask you. And I would recommend you ask everyone who shows up later today that same question. Because the thing is, I think our search for excitement via volume is doing something to us. I think it, because of things that I've learned so many things. But work with me here. Once upon a time, there was no buzz in the signal, there was no blinking lights, there were no cars driving by, there was no television signals. There were no internet chat boards. There were no emails. If you wanted to go talk to someone, you had to be in the same room. Before there were even rooms, you had to be remotely within a few feet of them. And you had to project your voice. You had to tighten your diaphragm, push that air out. Or if you're doing it kind of wrong, you're pawing right out of your throat. That uncomfortable sound that you can just cover up as much as you want now. And the thing is, volume is exciting because it needed to be exciting. When we're listening to something, we're getting used to a certain level of volume. See, this volume right now. And if a sound happens that's significantly louder than that, our attention is brought. Just for a little bit. Smacks through that little cavern that is our ear canal, and it splashes against that drum of our eardrum, and we think, what? A sound just happened. And it's a sound that's different from the other sounds. I'd better pay attention to it, and our ears compress the signal. Compression might sound familiar to you, because we all use compression in our daily lives. Most of us who listen to digital audio. We compress the sound field so that the highs and the lows closer together. Makes it easier to amplify everything. I'm pretty sure everyone here who has done any sort of electronics today or yesterday or the day before has used compression in some way. And we need that internally in order to be alerted to some new change in the sound field. We need to get excitable. We need to be ready to fight or to fly. Because if we didn't, well, so on goes down the genetic chain, and looks like most of our ancestors managed to compress the audio and pay attention and make a decision pretty quickly. Now imagine all the things I just mentioned that weren't there are there now. We are constantly bombarded by sound. Silence is a luxury. Even now, ear vents are going. Speakers are humming. And we're getting used to that. And we think, oh, I'm losing my hearing. It's just a natural part of growing. Is it really natural? It's convenient to always have sound, but maybe we should make things a little inconvenient. My voice sounds odd right now. Because I don't have it going through any of this stuff. Yet it still sounds quite loud, in my estimation. But if we're not really getting anything else, volume-wise, in our lives, other than minimum this level, maximum far above even my tall arm can possibly reach, maybe we miss something that calm that comes from silence. And we're doing all these little shortcuts in order to calm ourselves down. And maybe we just need to get away from this stuff every once in a while. I'm saying we need to retreat from this stuff every once in a while. Just a sense of dynamics. Have a conversation. There's people that I no longer talk to because I can't get excitable around them. I can't raise my voice at all, and I think if maybe they had a slightly different lifestyle, that the slightest increase in volume might not bother them so much, and so goes vice versa. I guess that's all I'm trying to say. I guess maybe we'd all be a little bit more okay if we just had a nice, quiet chat. Let's close this up, shall we?
Tonight.
I'm out on the street.
On the street.
Tonight. Being a creep tonight.
I'm out on the street.
On the street.
Tonight. Being a creep tonight.
I'm out on the street.
On the street.
Tonight. Being a creep tonight.
I'm out on the street.
On the street tonight.
Being a creep tonight.
Out on the street.
On the street tonight.
Being a creep tonight.
I'm out on the street.
On the street tonight.
Being a creep tonight.
Out on the street.
On the street tonight.
Being a creep tonight.
Speaker for troubled youth. Oh, that was awesome. Here's basically what I said to him, and no bullshit. I mean, no fucking bullshit, no shit there I was. Dude, if I got caught for the shit that I did, I would have been in their fucking situation too. I would have been sitting in Juvie Hall, thinking about all the dumb shit I did. I just didn't get caught. And that's basically what I told them, but dude, these guys have a lot more situation than me. There's no way they were getting out of this situation.
Don't get caught.
Yeah. No, dude, in the army?
It's not illegal if you don't get caught.
Right. First off, in the army, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And if you get caught, you weren't trying hard enough. That's a fucking lesson in reality. But at the same time, dude, at some point, when does an environment perpetuate its own set of circumstances? And when that leads to death among youths? And, I mean, some of these kids, when you want to talk about, like, the hierarchy of needs and everything, safety is one of the first ones, whether or not they feel safe. So, after an entire speech of, you know, like, trying to find, you know, the leadership, trying to find stuff in there, this one kid's report to me really struck me. The only part he recognized, the only part he remembered or wanted to talk about was the fact that I mentioned that I shot guns. And his whole thing was, we got guns around here. How am I supposed to worry about school when everybody got guns? And, but that was kind of my whole point about it. Because I related international terrorism to domestic terrorism. Now it's all the same perpetuating cycle. And how education. Now whether or not am I a good role model because I use drugs? Well, what am I trying to do? Let's see, I'm a responsible adult who took time out on his weekend to come and has his keys in his bag sitting with his buddies doing something to create an experience that will all enjoy and will forever cherish. It will be forever. Now, besides the fact that we took something, We've set all sets of safety precautions. We all have phones, we all have access, we've all put our keys aside. We're not going anywhere. We're obviously not trying to endanger our lives. You see what I'm saying? We created a stable environment, and now we're just enjoying the experience. How is that a bad thing?
Functioning.